May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 685. When Noah, with his favoured few, was ordered to embark, 8 human souls, a little crew, entered on board his ark. Hymn 685.
Thank you. Shall we read together this evening two portions from the Word of God? The first is in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, and we'll read the first 22 verses, and then turn to the first book of Kings and chapter 19. The book of Exodus, chapter 25, reading to the end of verse 22, then turning to the first book of Kings. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and sheeting wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing, oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of sheeting wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of sheeting wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put the ark, thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them into the ends, into the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee above the mercy seat. For between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Shall we now turn to the book of the Kings, the first book of the Kings and chapter 19. The first book of Kings and chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and wherefore how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And when he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake the pieces in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi thou shalt shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Aziel shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and kiss my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now to come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal, almighty Lord God, in thy sovereign purposes, thou hast permitted that we should gather together this night in this place. And, O Lord, we do pray that we are gathered in thy name, and according to thy promise, thou wilt be in the midst. And might it be our true concern this night, sirs, we would see Jesus. Thou knowest those cries that have gone up unto thee concerning this service. And, O Lord, as prayer has gone up, might there yet be answers, O Lord. Those cries of thy people in the pathway that they walk in, that pathway known unto thee, and what each has need of, known unto thee. And so we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt work in our midst this night. O Lord, that thou wilt work in our souls, our never dying souls. O Lord, for we come in confession of our many sins. O Lord, the unbelief in our hearts, the besetting sin, the indwelling sin, those thoughts that carry us away. O Lord, our proud hearts, the capital I that is in us, that spirit, Lord, of the Pharisee in us. And yet, Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt grant unto us confession of our sins before thee, O Lord, that thou wilt wash and pardon, and that thou wilt come to any that feel that state of soul in their blackness, in the darkness of their mind, that, Lord, thou might set captives free from this body of sin and death. O Lord, if it could be thy holy will, might it redound in this place, I'm clean, just God, I'm clean. So we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt work. O Lord, O thy work, we pray. And O Lord, as thou dost work, so we pray that thou wilt use the means attended to in this service this night, the singing of the hymns, the reading of thy holy word. And as we come once more to the dividing of thy word, to the preaching of thy word, might thou own and bless. Might thou guide thoughts aright. Might those words be granted that come into that needed by thy needy ones, that for those that cry unto thee. And O Lord, any that sit unconcerned, O might there be that time appointed to bring into concern. O Lord, might thou crown thy gospel with success. O, we pray, might thou, O Lord, as we are gathered here, might thou shut us in. O Lord, as we read concerning that ark of which we have sung, and the Lord shut them in. And O Lord, might thou then abide with us. Might thou, Lord Jesus, fill the place with thy felt presence. Cast out all care from us. Those carking cares, O Lord, release us from them. That there might be a time this night, O Lord, of that burning in our hearts, that thou art near, that thou art with us. Hear the cry of thy crying ones, return. Return, O Lord. Come, Lord. Come. Come unto me. Oh, I pray, Lord, hear those cries. It may be that cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, hear the cries that go up unto thee. Lord, and as those cries go up, might there be answers. So we lay all at thy feet, praying that thou wilt help us, Lord, this night. Help us each one, whether pulpit, desk or pew. And, O Lord, thou seest into our hearts. There is nothing hid from thee. Search us out in this, O Lord. O keep us ever mindful that thou, God, seest me. So watch over us now. Do be with this church and people here, O Lord. Might thou watch over, might thou bless them. Might thou hear those cries that go up for the children, the young people, for their never dying souls, that thou wilt keep them on the dangers of this world. But oh, much more, Lord, as we look into our own lives, that thou wilt keep them from the hidden evils of our heart. So we pray for them, we pray for this people, that as we are gathered together, that thou might be present with us. And those absent, Lord, from us, through circumstance, through responsibility of family, might thou, Lord, be with them. What a mercy, Lord, thou dost come where thy people are. And oh, what a mercy it will be this night if thou dost come where we are. So help us, Lord, be with thy people where they gather throughout this world, O Lord, and those of thy sent servants. O Lord, own and bless the preaching of thy word. And look in mercy upon our guilty land and nation. O Lord, the evils of this land, so contrary to thy word. Thou art not mocked, but Lord, grant us prayer. Grant us that beseeching of thee. Stir us up, Lord, that we might cry indeed for the abomination done in the land, and that thou wilt overturn, O Lord, the evil designs of men. O Lord, oh, might thou yet turn us again as a land and nation. We need it, Lord, in our little causes of truth. We need it in our own heart. O Lord, so we pray for thee to work, O Lord, in our midst this night, as we would ask all for thy dear name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 356. Does the gospel word proclaim rest for those who weary be? Then my soul put in thy claim, sure that promise speaks to thee. Marks of grace I cannot show, all polluted is my breast. Yet I weary am, I know, and the weary long for rest. Hymn 356.
Lord might help, I would direct your thoughts once more to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. We'll read verses 6 and 7. Then he answered, spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And the words which have laid upon my mind in particular are those in the latter part of the sixth verse, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We tried this morning to speak from these words. We speak carefully and reverently before the Lord, and our thoughts were led into those thoughts concerning the work of salvation, the work from beginning to end, all of Almighty God. As we considered the previous verses in this chapter, speaking of those olive trees feeding into the candlestick, and that sufficiency, that supply, all of Almighty God. And so, in the salvation of sinners, sinners far off, sinners, as we spoke this morning, of the fall, of the entering in to sin into this world, and death by sin, and the covenant of electing love and mercy between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that way of salvation through the redeeming blood, love, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the conquering of sin, death, and hell, and the work of the Holy Spirit in awakening, in bringing each one from darkness unto light, each one of his people, love from all eternity, each one written in the Lamb's book of life. And that work of salvation, all of Almighty God. Nothing of us, nothing of the creature, nothing we have done. All we have done is sinned and come short of the glory of God. We spoke of that reference in that hymn of that fig leaf righteousness and of the day of judgment, that day that none of us will escape. And that day that is appointed of Almighty God, as there is that time to be born, so there is that time to die. And our lives are but, as the scripture speaks, as a tale that is told. And perhaps as we get older, we think, where has the time gone? But oh, this we know, that the time is that hourglass of that time that we each have upon this earth, as we might use the illustration. Those sands of time are going through, and none of us know what time we have left upon this earth. And so the scripture warns, be ye also ready, be ye also ready. For ye know not what time nor hour the Lord cometh. It comes to our mind, we would just speak of that parable of that man that built, that had that plentiful harvest, built those barns, said to his soul that he would now have rest. Perhaps we are guilty of planning what might be ahead of us, perhaps in our retirement, in those days to come, what we will do. But then we have recorded in those words that the Lord spake, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall these things be? And who shall these things be? For as Paul writes, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall take nothing out. Pointed unto man, as we quoted this morning, once to die, death, then judgment. And we thought in the vestry of that word salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. And what is it? Naturally, that used to describe a situation where there may have been those in perilous danger and no way of escape. Those who could not see that way, that hope, and yet a way of escape, perhaps those in mines and deep places, the rescuers come. But oh, much more these things pale into insignificance in the salvation of sinners through the blood and merits and redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Salvation from a deserved eternity of eternal damnation and hellfire. A saving from that which we deserve, through the blood and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of a truth, Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And so, as we spoke this morning, those that know anything of salvation will come in here with these words, not by might nor by power, but by that work from beginning to end of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. and that great mountain of condemnation of due upon our sins, that great mountain made plain, we speak reverently, the price paid, that way made through the blood and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you and I, if we can come in with the hymn writer, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way, then it will be our echoing, grace, grace unto it. So, we would seek that the Lord might help us to consider these words in that pathway of the Lord's people. And as we spoke this morning, perhaps as we go on in the way, brought to that truth of the Scripture, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. It will be if you and I are saved by grace. All of him, all of him, nothing of us. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. Joshua, as we read this morning in Haggai, the high priest. The people had returned from the captivity, 70 years in captivity, returned to their land. As is thought, again, we would not turn it into a history lesson, we speak reverently, but something like 536 BC, and they started to rebuild the temple. But there seems to have been a period of some 15 years when this work was neglected. The solemnity, the searching of this in our own hearts, that they had been brought back to Jerusalem. Yes, the temple destroyed. And what, and we speak reverently, was the significance of the temple? What, as we read together this night, the significance of the tabernacle in the wilderness as the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, as the Lord had brought them up out of Egypt from the bondage of slavery, the bondage of the Egyptians, as the Lord led them by that pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, watched over them. And we read together in our first reading. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. We spoke this morning of the communion known between Adam and his Creator, the Lord God between his creation, between man made in the image of God. And how, through the entrance of sin, that communion gone. And here, a place for the Lord to dwell among them. I, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And there I will meet with them and will commune with them from the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, and all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And so, the Lord dwelling in the midst of the people, in that inner place. And so, the tabernacle, till that time that Solomon built the temple. And that place where the Lord dwelt among the people. That place that drew the heart of his people. We think for a moment of Jonah. In his obedience, yes. In the depth of the sea, in the depth of the great fish, cried indeed, as he said, from that belly of hell, but I shall yet look again unto thy holy temple, that view by faith of that place where the Lord dwelt. And the ark that we read, and as we've sung of that ark of Noah, what is an ark? As we have the ark of bulrushes of Moses, the ark that Noah built. We would not dwell. How many laughed and scorned, mocked the building of the ark. What is an ark? A place of safety, a place of security. And how solemn was that day when the rains began to fall. Noah and his family, those eight souls in the ark, and the Lord shut them in. And no other place of safety upon this earth. The fountains of the great deep, the opening of the heaven, the highest place upon this earth, throughout the whole earth covered. How solemn. We would not dwell, but just that one window in the ark. For how solemn it would have been to have looked out upon that upon the earth. How many may have been upon the sides of it? How many have run to the highest place? On that flood, that worldwide flood, as we look around in the rock formations and see the way the earth, as it were, was moved. But how solemn will that day of judgment be? For as we sang of the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, no other place of safety on that day. Let none of us be deceived. No other place of safety. It will all be as we are found in Christ, the only place of safety. How solemn to be found outside of him. And the ark of the testimony of the Lord's presence with them, and the mercy seat over the ark. And oh, much more, child of God, even the ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the mercy seat, that place where his people have access unto the Father. That place to find help in time of need. And so, the returning of the people, Zerubbabel as the ruler over them, and yet, that work that seems to have started, no longer continued. And we read this morning of that word of Haggai to the people. This people say, the Lord of hosts saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai saying, or the prophet saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell, O ye, to dwell. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, those houses with roofs, with ceilings, as it were, and this house of the Lord is laid waste? Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider thy ways. And we read also of that lack of prosperity naturally, the failing of their harvests and other such things. Why? In that neglect of that house of the Lord, of the one who had brought them back from that place where the Lord dwell among the people. As it were, more concerned with the things of this world. And we read also in Ezra of those things that had crept in amongst them. And does it not search out our hearts? Those solemn words, believe in Luke, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And perhaps there is that as we look into our own heart, that we have neglected. We read those solemn words in Scripture. Search is out my heart, wonder what I really know of them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Yes, I know we believe that we are not under the law, but under the gospel. The law, do and live. The gospel, live and do. But when that one came to the Lord Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Might the Holy Spirit lay the plumb line down in my life, your life. I look to myself, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And you know where your thoughts have been, even this day, even in the past days. You know where those eyes have looked, those ears have heard, that mouth has spoken, that feet have walked, those arms have touched. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Lovest thou me? Follow me? We read the disciples forsook all and followed him. And I believe that speaks of that forsaking, as it were, of those things of this world, the comforts of it, those things that we might lean upon, but that forsaking all, that we would lean upon in our own soul, our own self, our own fig leaf righteousness. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And it may be that barrenness of soul. And again, we speak carefully, reverently. For it is the work of the Lord from beginning to end. That prosperity. For disobedience will only bring adversity. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I say this searches me out in my own life. We perhaps speak, and we speak carefully as we have in this chapter before us, not to despise the day of small things, for it is that work of the Lord. But perhaps as we look into our hearts, what of that desire for the building? What of that desire that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? What of our sealed houses? What of the house of the Lord? One word we used to think upon in Timothy, where it speaks of those having that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I used to think perhaps of those we speak carefully, reverently, not in any judgmental way. Perhaps that those who had those rituals in their services, the Church of Rome, perhaps the High Church of England and others, that
had those services that seemed to lack power, having that form, but denying the power thereof. But oh, much more, child of God, when the Lord searches us out in those words, how easy we speak carefully, lovingly, it is to put on a form, but to deny the power thereof. Those bypath meadows, that Laodicean condition, the church at Ephesus, so strong in the standing for the truth of the doctrines of Scripture, but had left their first love. Oh, might the Lord search us out in these things. I look in myself, I look nowhere else. Of that house, that sealed house. And the Lord's house. And so, in the appointed time, that stirring up of the people, that work, that power of Almighty God, for no other power will break this rebellious, hard heart. No other power will stir up Laodicea. No other power will draw the cold heart unto the Lord. And so, the Lord, in that time, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We would, for a moment, as the thought came to us upon these words, concerning Samson, that strength, that, if we might use the word correctly, that supernatural strength, that strength above nature that he was given. And went on in the arms of Delilah till that time that, left to himself, spoke to her of that strength that was in the length of his hair. Yes, but oh, that strength that of the Lord. And we read that he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. I think we said it, quoted it correctly. How solemn. Yet, the mercy is that Solomon is found amongst those in that book of Hebrews, listed among those worthies. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And as we thought upon it, and as we read later of that returning of his strength, there may be those times of departing. But oh, what a mercy. We do not say this in any fatalistic way, but we trust in that humility of the experience of it. The Lord has promised that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He that has begun that good work in you will carry it on unto the end. And so in his measure, Samson had to prove, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that he could cry, Lord, remember me this once. And that he could cry, grace, grace, unto it, in that experience of it. And so, as we may have said before, as we seem to have gone on in the way, brought to return all honour and glory unto the Lord for his unchangeableness, for his unchangeable love and mercy. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And so, at that time appointed, as we read together in Haggai, and then all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, that reviving, that renewing. And oh, what a mercy, we may have said before, but it comes to mind, that we have on record in the 23rd Psalm, he restoreth my soul. What a mercy that salvation is all of Almighty God. Not by work, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we read concerning Elijah, the great deliverance, how he had stood upon the Mount Carmel, how he had stood against all the prophets, as it were, of Ahab and Jezebel, and yet when left to ourselves, how the Lord shows us that it is not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. And we read in that portion of how the Lord appeared unto him, was not in that great wind, was not in the earthquake, was not in the fire, but in that still small voice. What doest thou here, Elijah? And can any of us here cast stones at Elijah? What a mercy. What a mercy those everlasting arms are underneath each one of his people, under you and I, if we are his. And has been commented, we will never fall below them, no matter how low we may go. Those arms underneath Jonah in that great distress. And the Lord came to him a second time. Oh, what a mercy that the Lord does not deal with us as we deserve. And there was yet that work for Elijah. And again, we would speak not in any judgmental way, but oh, what is it when left to ourselves? Oh, how capital I seems to flourish. How self-pity seems to grow. And yet the Lord had that number, 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Great mercy if the Lord uses those of his people for the furtherance of his purposes. But it will be nothing of us, all of him. Who art thou? O great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. All those impossibilities in that building of the house, of that place for the Lord to abide with his people. In the Old Testament, made plain, those impossibilities made plain. How? Through the power and might of Almighty God. He in whose hand are the hearts of all of his creation, men, women, children. He who orders all things. He who can command and it is done. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Our thoughts went to that word in Isaiah, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? Those great mountains in my life, your life, the Lord knoweth those mountains. But there is one. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer. Come boldly to that throne of grace, to the mercy seat, to find help when in time of need. And as we spoke of salvation in those troubles of the Lord's people, that salvation of our soul, so that bringing, that delivering out of those troubles. And we thought, as we spoke to the children, the young people this afternoon, of that word petition, of that coming earnestly, boldly, entreating the Lord as that one who is able to grant the petition. We thought again of Hannah, of that great mountain in her life. Yes, Penina against her. But that great mountain that the Lord had shut up her womb. Who art thou? Oh, great mountain, before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And dear Hannah, in that sorrow, that bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Yes, how Eli, as we spoke this afternoon, looked upon that scene and interpreted it so wrong, how we need that wisdom to be kept from our own judgment, but to look to the Lord. The Lord grant thee thy petition. For no other could move that great mountain. And yet, there was a place. Yet, there is a place, dear child of God, that you can take that great mountain. Maybe those mountains in our family, maybe those mountains in the workplace, in the church, maybe that great mountain before you, young ones, in those exams that are before you. It may be those great mountains, whatever they may be, that crying unto the Lord, that taking, as it were, of that petition, of that request, unto that one who is able to make those rough places plain, those crooked things straight, able to do more than we can ask or think. One whose ways are not our ways, one whose thoughts are not our thoughts. And has there not been, we think of one occasion in our lives where we stood in awe and wonder at the love of the Lord to us, that way that we could not even have comprehended, worked out ourselves, and yet his way above our ways. And so Hannah brought to that place in the spirit of crying, grace, grace unto it. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Thou who hast delivered me, thou who hast brought down that great mountain before me, I rejoice. And dear child of God, as we look back in that way, has there not been those times of rejoicing? That inward rejoicing that the Lord doth look down upon us. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. No other power, no other name under heaven by which mankind should be saved. No other power save that name of the Lord Jesus that will bring down and make that way before that great mountain. We speak carefully, in the solemnity of it. No other power that will bring down that great mountain of death. No other power will bring you and I, if we are his, to walk through that pathway on dry ground. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening, and there will be reading services next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 708. As when a child, secure of arms, hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. Hymn 708.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, look down upon us now, each one gathered here. Lord, thou knowest, do go before this people, do keep them and bless them, Lord, keep us each. Take us in safety now as we travel. Keep us close to thee. Forgive, O Lord, what thou hast seen amiss. O Lord, go before in that way, those mountains that may be before. Lord, make them plain. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the union and communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both present and absent, both now and forever. Amen.